Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Tuesday, to get you through another crazy, wild, maddening day of news that we're going to figure out together live on the Jason Rant Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM for our friends on the Greater East Side. We got a lot to get to. Washington State is going to potentially introduce reparations via a loan. That is what's trending.
What's trending? Everything is racist.
Democrats are pretending that black homeowners are poor or disproportionately poor because of racism that they never actually experienced. And we're all going to pay to fix it. And maybe not all of us, but some of us. There's a new bill. It's been introduced by Jamila Taylor, the state representative from Tacoma. This new bill got a press release story from King 5 about how racist home covenants were once used, and that is undoubtedly true. But they say as a result, there's now little quote-unquote black wealth. And these policies have a legacy that are still felt today. We got it. And it accounts for low home ownership by black Washingtonians. That's the claim. Now, Taylor is the prime sponsor of the bill, 1474, for those of you who are playing at home. This would fund a $100 million, basically a bucket of money per year, to be used to give home loans to fund black home ownership.
We've seen that the compounding of all of these practices, policies, and laws have led to where we are right now, and we are not making traction.
Now, when you buy a home, you would get hit with a $100 fee that would go specifically to this fund. So an extra $100 tax, basically, that would go into this fund. That if you are someone who has been historically wronged or come from a demographic, a marginalized community that has been historically wronged by racist covenants, you would then be subject to, you would qualify for this particular loan, which makes it racist. I know they're going to try to pretend that it's not, but it's racist and arguably illegal because this is meant for black home buyers. So if you're white, if you're Latino, if you're Asian, if you're Native American, you would not be subject to a tax dollar funded or a taxpayer funded bucket of money for loans. That is discrimination. That is discriminatory. Now, you know who loves the idea other than the people who might benefit from it? Realtors and developers. They love it. Why might a realtor like this idea?
More people would buy a house.
Bingo. They don't care who's buying the house. I know we're supposed to believe that they're all racist and they're trying to keep qualified black homeowners from or potential homeowners from purchasing homes. A realtor doesn't care. By the way, as much as they love this because they want to talk about how woke they are, you think they're going to cut down on their commission?
No.
You know, not even just a little bit, maybe just like a 10% reparations punishment.
Couldn't they give $100?
They could. Do they? They should just put it on them. Huh. Interesting. Executive Director of the Housing Development Consortium in King County, her name is Patience Malaba. Ironically, lacks patience at all. She says, come on, get going. Let's go. She was waiting to testify. She was like, I can't be here all day. Lady, you just got there. No, I got to go. I got stuff to do. She says this will fix government misdeeds of the past.
Today, what we are about to do with this bill is enable government, who has been responsible for creating a lot of the discriminatory policies, to actually remedy the wrong.
I love how there is this assumption that every single person living today who happens to be black, and it is very specific. You don't really hear, at least I haven't heard anyone say, well, because of historical wrongs, Asians are disproportionately, you know, X, Y, and Z. That because of internment camps, Asians have not been able to get a leg up on anybody else in this country. They're always being held down because of a historical wrong. Have you heard that? I've not heard that. Have you guys heard of anyone saying, well, because of the Holocaust, Jews are just completely out of luck here? They just can never get far. I mean, you can't. You kind of understand it. There was a madman who tried to exterminate an entire group of people based on their religion. Never hear that. Why is that? Because somehow these are two groups that have been able to overcome what I think most people would reasonably call atrocities and or significant traumatic events that clearly at the time were racist and are still racist now, or are bigoted then and are bigoted now, hateful then and hateful now. Why is it that Asians and Jews as a group, as a quote unquote marginalized community, why were they able to, and I should say we, I guess, because I'm a Jew, why aren't we still saying, well, I didn't get this job, or I didn't get this home, or I didn't collect wealth as a result of a historical wrong? Why don't we do that? Because somehow the Asian community as a whole, the Jewish community as a whole, has been able to overcome historic wrongs, no doubt. And I imagine it didn't take a short period of time. I mean, the Holocaust wasn't that long ago. Neither were internment camps. And yet somehow culturally, we were able to move forward. And I imagine not everyone was. And I suppose someone could say, as a Jew who's not wealthy or an Asian who's not wealthy, well, it's because of my historical wrong. Why don't we do that? We never say that. Now, some folks will say, well, actually, Jason, you're making the point that there's white supremacy culture. That's what's keeping black community members down. Okay. You do understand white supremacy culture, I'm presuming, is also anti-Asian and anti-Jewish. So there's got to be something else that we should be having a larger conversation about. Or is it possible that when you actually look at the data, it's not that there's a lack of black wealth, that there might be more black people who are socioeconomically at the bottom of the ring, and they suffer the exact same kinds of consequences or struggles as someone who's poor who's Asian, someone who's poor who's black and white and Latino and Native American and Jewish and gay? And it turns out it's not really about race. It's about your socioeconomic status. And you can go ahead and pretend that the only people who are poor are communities of color, but we know that that's not true. And there are plenty of white people and Asian people and Jewish people and Muslim people and gays and trans who are poor who also struggle the same way someone who's black might struggle. But instead of addressing that aspect and trying to lift people up out of poverty, we make excuses for why some people are in certain groups, and we judge them purely based on race. And I think that that is wrong. Shouldn't we want to help everybody? Shouldn't we want to help everybody? If you came up with a system that was meant to help people who are not homeowners, because the argument is that black homeownership is disproportionately low. Okay, fine. And I think that is correct. If you come up with a system that helps everybody, wouldn't you, by definition, be helping more black people own homes than anybody else in the group if it's that disproportionate, right? So let's say that 90% of black Washingtonians don't own a home. And again, I just made that up. And when you compare that to white people or Asians or Latinos, let's just say 7% across the board, doing pretty well. If you come up with a fund that's supposed to help everyone, well, you're going to help more of the black community members than you are everybody else because they represent a larger share of those who are in need. So why can't we do that? Or is that racist?
It doesn't make the statement that they want it to make.
Exactly. It is not inherently political, and it does not forward a very specific political agenda that benefits when people think that this is a country founded on white supremacy that must be torn down and rebuilt in the image of some progressive blah, 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 blah. Push that button.
What's trending? The homelessness crisis.
Cuomo is now reporting that there is finally a plan to handle that dangerous homeless encampment under the Ship Canal Bridge. But there really isn't a plan to handle that dangerous homeless encampment under the Ship Canal Bridge. There's some words. There was a letter that was written that doesn't really tell us that they're going to do anything different or with any sense of urgency. Now, the more pressure put on the various agencies like the King County Regional Homelessness Authority, like the City of Seattle, like WSHOT, that might actually help. But if we give up because they wrote a letter, Well, guess what? Nothing's going to be done. You've got about 30 homeless people that are living there. Or Como says, 30 individuals are living unsheltered at the site. It's like they get paid by the word. They say the regional partners have launched a public safety and site stabilization plan that includes the King County Regional Homelessness Authority, also known as CHURA. They will field teams increasing their engagement to have a daily presence on site to work with the unsheltered to ensure connections with services and prepare for housing when resources become available. Housing, not shelter. Housing. They say that the teams are tasked to, quote, actively mitigate concerns around the presence of firearms and fires. The field teams are also providing regular status updates. Now, WashDOT is going down there and they're looking at the lighting to make sure it's all good because we got to accommodate the people who are living there. We're going to make sure the fencing is appropriate for them because we want to protect them as they're in there, killing each other or killing themselves. They say that they will possibly provide funds to give temporary lodging for people living in the encampment, providing them with additional assistance to ensure any barriers to housing are addressed ahead of time so people can move into housing immediately. Okay. You can do that right now, right? You can simply say, we're moving you. We've got shelter space. But they don't want to wait for shelter space. They want to wait for housing. They want to give them a hotel room. They want to give them a tiny house or a tiny house villa or villa, whatever those things are called. They want to give them subsidized housing. And until we have the subsidized housing available, they're going to keep them there. And despite some pressure coming from the media, and Como's been on this story pretty consistently, you still have dudes like Keith. He's with the West Seattle Veterans Center, and this is what he told Como TV.
The mess under the Ship Canal Bridge got bigger right after they swept the park at Woodland Park.
Oh, thank you. I love the tone because you're connecting dots for me. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Well, why don't you put them at the West Seattle Veterans Center? Dude who does not even live in the area. You live in West Seattle, so I don't know why Como's talking to you. But how about that? Why don't we put them next to you? Since you seem to be critical of sweeps. And it is true that when you sweep, they just go somewhere else. You know why? Because we don't have any teeth to anything that we do. There's no enforcement. We simply say you can't stay here. We don't say you can't stay here or we're going to throw you in jail for breaking the law. We don't say you can't stay here. You have to go into a shelter. And if you simply move across the street, we're going to go back to you tomorrow and do the exact same thing. We know we say we're going to sweep you. And then we ignore them for another 6 months, wherever it is they set up the next camp. And then we do the same thing over again. We don't have a policy that forces people into making a decision to either get on the right track or get out of town. And in large part, they don't have a plan because of people like Keith with their snooty little attitudes telling me, well, you know, when you sweep them from one place, guess what? They go somewhere else. Yeah, that's true. We can put them in shelter. Well, they're human beings, and they don't all want to go into shelter. They have what are they supposed to do with their stuff? You mean the garbage that they're living by that we're pretending is their personal property? That stolen bike over there? Yeah, I don't care. Oh, well, sorry. I don't care. Because at some point, you're going to have to offer some tough love to some people to get them on the right track. Not everyone who's living there, I imagine, will respond to tough love. Some of them are dealing with a mental health issue. Some of them are dealing with an addiction. Let's treat it. But we don't treat it. And we don't spend money on facilities to treat them. You know what we spend our money on? Buying more hotels and motels that COVID policies put out of business, only for the county to come in and say, well, now that we put you out of business, let's purchase this property at a deeply discounted rate. And we're going to throw a whole bunch of homeless people in there. Not actually get them the treatment that they need because it's housing first. Housing first is a model that works, except, of course, it doesn't. Oh, but what about Salt Lake City? They solved homelessness. Oh, did they? Homelessness has never been worse than Salt Lake City. Not to get too in the weeds with housing first, but the people who say housing first works, they point to Salt Lake City because they most publicly decided to pursue that as a policy, and they said, we solved homelessness. Except when they said that, turns out They did not solve homelessness. Push the button.
What's trending in the classroom?
There is a boy genius by the name of David Belogan. He is a 9-year-old who just graduated high school. Except it was an online high school, so I'm assuming he cheated. But let's just assume that he is this boy genius. Because every once in a while, we do find someone who's at least as smart as I am. So let's assume that he's actually in that category. He was on CNN today, and he was asked about his future. What do you want to do when you grow up? And no one on that panel for CNN, and this was their morning show, I think it's Poppy Harlow who asked the question, not a single person, upon hearing his answer, decided to be honest with this kid. Which means I have to. Which means I have to step up and be honest to this kid about what his future holds.
Hey, David, what do you want to be when you grow up, David?
By the way, if you're talking to a genius kid, you don't have to talk to them in that kid voice. What do you want to be when you grow up, David? You know.
Yeah, he's got a high school degree. He's already grown up.
Let's say, hey, David, what do you want to be? Well, what are your plans? He's also, by the way, he's 9. But okay, let's hear his answer.
Well, there are a few things that I want to be.
Oh, my God.
An astrophysicist, an engineer, a nuclear chemist,
okay,
a software developer,
a
rocket engineer.
What's the last one?
Website
design.
A website. Nothing like it. Well, I was going to say ball player. That would be great, too, right?
Oh, my God. So let's be honest to this kid. I'm assuming he's a podcast subscriber because he's a genius. And he, of course, would want to listen to a top quality show. Your life is going to be miserable if you listen to the adults around you who want you to really lean into being this boy genius. You are 9 years old. You should be doing things that 9-year-olds do. There are ways to allow you to be truly challenged academically, intellectually, while also allowing you to be a 9-year-old, and that you even know what an astrophysicist is, and you're listing that as a possible job amongst many, which I'm assuming he thinks he can have all at once. That tells me he's not really getting a childhood, the one at least that he deserves. There are certainly brilliant kids who we have to nurture in a different way than the average dum-dum. That's certainly true. But you can't do it at the expense of him having a childhood. And when was the last time we truly heard a success story, like 10 years after we made a big deal on the news about a boy or girl genius who at 7 years old graduated from MIT? They never follow up like 10 years, 20 years later to find out what's going on with that genius kid. We hear these interviews, right? We see these all the time. Whenever you get this kind of story, there's a big deal made locally and nationally. You think CNN's going to check up on David in 10 years from now? 20 years from now? No. They never follow up. And something tells me that if they follow up, they'll basically get their version of following up on a sort of a white trash family that ends up winning billions of dollars in the lottery, only to find out that they squandered it all and they're poor again 4 years later. You don't even have to go a full 10 years. But that's my guess. And that's a shame. I feel bad for the kid. I do. I really do. I don't know his family situation. Maybe the parents are really good at this. But man, I don't know if I'd put my kid on TV to brag about him at 9 years old graduating high school. I don't know that that sends the message you think it does.
So what do you do if you're the parent and you have this genius kid? How do you lead them towards a successful
path? This is what you do. So there's two things, or two options, I guess. Number one, I think in every single state in this country, no matter the kid's age, you can still drop them off at your local fire station and just say it's on you to handle. Now, I don't recommend that, but it's an option.
But you're recommending it.
No, I'm not recommending it. I mean, I mentioned it first. No, what you do is you ensure and you go overboard in making sure that they're not studying constantly. You already know the kid's a genius. They don't need to study anymore. They're already there. So how about this? We're going to put the kid into Little League. We're going to put the kid into theater if he's, you know, has talent.
Sounded more like a theater kid than a Little League kid.
I mean, fine, but you know what? He could play probably volleyball or something. I don't know. I'm just saying, you have to go out of your way to push the kid into things that normal 9-year-olds will do. Otherwise, you really are just giving them a life sentence of just being miserable. I say this as someone who is brilliant. We're all miserable because we're so smart. We judge everyone around us. We never feel that we're given the credit that we deserve. Even if he's on CNN, you think he's going to be back on CNN never again. But in the back of his mind, he's always going to say, why aren't they inviting me back? Now I'm 10 years old and I just graduated college. What's going on? We just constantly have chips on our shoulder and we're never truly challenged. Like, you're around me all the time. You've never challenged me once in anything. I've never, ever felt challenged by anything you've ever said. Ever.
Yeah.
That was a great response. Thank you.
What?
We're turning off your microphone. You don't know how to give a conversation. You know how to have a conversation?
I just asked a question that led to 3 minutes of content.
And then you just followed up by saying, yeah.
Well, that was...
You said, couldn't give me yeah, and then finish. I'm handing it off. It's a conversation. See? He can't even challenge me in a conversation. God. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. If you have a genius kid, what would you do with him? Don't really care. Don't send me that answer. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to text me about anything else. It's the Jason Rant Show.
Olympia, Sammamish, Lakewood, Bellevue.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Bellingham, Kirkland, Z-Town.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local. Brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services. They're online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead, we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. We start with an unfortunate story. It is an exclusive report. A Federal Way High School staff member is on leave, pending the results of a police investigation. He's accused of having sexual contact with a student. Now, I've spoken to multiple sources who confirm that it's a Decatur High School staff member accused of sexual misconduct with a student who is reportedly a minor. This individual who is accused is not within a few years of this minor girl. Now, a spokesperson told me that, and they confirmed that the allegations were reported to them on January 27th. Once that happened, it triggered an immediate response. Number one, they went to the Federal Way Police Department. Number two, they connected with Child Protective Services at the state level. They are required to do that. They actually take their job seriously, unlike what happened in the Bellingham School District. A school spokesperson confirmed that the staff member was then placed immediately on leave as this investigation unfolds. It's not clear as to whether or not if the victim went to the school to explain what happened. I know that the victim or someone who knew what happened went to the school, but they did not connect with the police first. They went through the school. Now, the district isn't going to tell us who is accused. However, I have confirmed who was accused. I know exactly who is who has been accused of this after speaking with multiple sources. However, he has not yet been charged. I don't know if he will be charged, so I'm not going to identify who it is, nor am I going to tell you the position that he holds, because if we were to do that, it would be very easy to figure that out, which means I can't say it's not a teacher. And I want people to chill about that, because if you find out your teacher is accused of this, you're going to wonder immediately if it's more than one person. And perhaps you'll feel that way once we tell you who the person actually is. I don't expect that will be your reaction. Now, I can tell you that according to a spokesperson, they say Federal Way Public Schools hiring process requires every employee to complete and pass a Federal Bureau of Investigation and Washington State Patrol fingerprint and background check. Now, the reason why that's important is that presumably means that this is a first-time charge, meaning they didn't hire someone who maybe had a suspicious background, because, of course, at that point you would say, well, then you kind of brought this on the student. So that's not the case. On top of that, they say all staff has to go through harassment training, bullying training, intimidation training. So this is someone who was acting outside of clearly our expectations. Now, there have not yet been any arrests. I'm told that within the next 2 weeks or so, the expectation is that this will be completed. The Federal Way Police Department gave me a statement basically outlining what I just said. When something like this happens, it should get a lot of attention. And it's curious why no one's talking about this but me. It's very interesting that no one... And now that it's out there, I've put it out there. And this was... I got a tip. It's weird that no one else is getting these kinds of tips, because this seems like one of the stories you might want to publicize. I'm curious if anyone else is going to talk about this until the charges are met. And the reason why I think that that's important is, don't you want to know if someone's accused at your kid's school of something as disturbing as this, even if they're innocent? Wouldn't you want to at least know so you're not caught by surprise? Like, wouldn't you want transparency from the beginning?
I assume this staffer is on some sort of leave or
something.
They're
on leave. They're on leave. But I'm saying, wouldn't you want to know immediately if this was happening? If someone at your school was being investigated? Because the one thing that you can do, even if there's no, let's just literally take this case. Someone's accused of having a sexual relationship or sexual contact with one kid. Okay. How do we know it's just one? Well, only one kid complained. No, I got that. But how do you know it's just one? By letting the families know what's going on, the parent might have a conversation, or maybe a sibling might have a conversation, or a friend, and they might find out some additional details. And I'm not saying that's happening here, but it's certainly a possibility, which is why I would expect that there be a little bit more transparency here. And I know they can't get too many details out, but they can certainly provide, the media I'm talking about, could provide as many details as I just provided. All of what I just said, with the exception of, you know, the timeline, and specifically the person who is being accused or the position, like, this was confirmed by the school and the police department. So I do think that it's, I think there's an onus on the press to cover stories like this in a bigger way. Meanwhile, Carol 7 TV reports a minivan crashed into a power pole earlier this morning at around 2:15 or so, causing an outage that affected over 1,000 customers in the city of Kent. And given the time, I imagine there were plenty of people who just did not wake up when they were supposed to, because that alarm clock or the phone lost its power as a result of this. So there might have been plenty of people who were late to work today. 3 kids and 2 adults were in the car. There's no details beyond that, including whether or not they were injured. I've got many questions, but really it's an observation, or maybe let's call it a reminder. We talk about soft targets, and we were talking a little bit based in Kapausen and Puyallup and Graham, the power station that was targeted. It's kind of the same thing. Like, it is remarkably easy to kill power for thousands of people. Like, it's remarkably easy. Obviously, this is not someone who did it on purpose, but it tells you how easy and how vulnerable all of this is to people who might actually want to do damage. And maybe it's best that we don't think of that, because that's kind of always going to be the case. It's not like we can do anything about that other than, you know, and some cities obviously do this, was just bury power lines, do it all underground, which makes it considerably more difficult to purposefully sabotage. But I don't know. The second I saw this story, I didn't care about the people who lost the power necessarily, even though obviously I did. I mean, if this Kent, I didn't really. But it did make me think about how easy it is. And then I started to devise a plan. And then I put it away, realizing that I probably should not have put that in writing. Cut that from the podcast so I don't get arrested.
I'm cutting it.
Thank you. Bellevue Elementary School families rallied last night because their kids' schools are on the list for potential consolidation because of low enrollment. Parents have ditched The Bellevue School District, lots of school districts, actually Washington State, have seen lower enrollment. It's largely due to two things. Number one, woke policies. It turns out, no matter how liberal the district, parents truly want their kids to learn things, and they would prefer that we not provide for them nothing but indoctrination. They want to actually learn history and English and math, science. So they pulled them out. Number two, COVID policies closed schools. I don't blame the districts necessarily. I know districts were trying to get them reopened, and it was the schools, teachers, unions that were getting in the way. But that was another reason. Everyone knew that it was safe to send kids back to school. Teachers union said no. Parents said, okay, I'm out. I'm going to put my kid into private school. I'm going to homeschool my kid. I'm going to go into a district that doesn't have a teachers union that's so selfish. Now, the schools that are being considered for closure slash consolidation are Eastgate, Phantom Lake, Woodridge, a whole bunch of others, seven in total. Lauren sends her kid to, or her kids to Phantom Lake, which is, of course, most notably the principal who got all dirty on his
Instagram.
Maybe
it's a good thing that this one's closing
now.
Yeah,
maybe this one should be closed. But obviously, she doesn't want that to happen.
We walk to and from school with our kids every day. We'd either have to look into taking a bus or driving in traffic. To think that they'll have to move to a new school and start over and make new friends. It's just a big challenge, and I'd rather they don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, look, it sucks. I will say, it's also possible that they won't have to really find new friends, right? The school itself is being closed or consolidated, which means there's probably a high chance that your kid will still be around at least a good portion of the students who went there, right? What's the likelihood of not having any overlap?
Well, I mean, they could get split up into different schools, I think.
Yeah, but how,
yeah, I get what you're saying.
There's got to be some overlap.
Yeah, it's not. Well, what if your kid only has one friend?
Well, then, you know what? You've got other problems, man.
That's fair.
You're going to have to work on that. What's going on there? Why does your kid only have one friend? Is he a bad person? Does she smell? What's going on? Does she have cooties? Come on.
Probably the last one.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a girl, obviously, cooties. Isn't it weird? Did girls ever say that about boys? I remember boys saying that about girls. I don't remember the reverse.
Do you
remember them saying? I mean, they must have, right?
There had to have been rumors. Maybe it just wasn't spoken as loudly.
Yeah, because girls keep it on the DL.
Yeah.
I love when I was in high school, there were a bunch of stories. I remember in the news about how boys in various high schools were keeping lists of the girls, like who were the hottest or who were the ones who were putting out, like that kind of thing. And it was always a big controversy. There was always, and I felt like that was a major story every single year for a very long time, and then just kind of went away. And I always remember thinking to myself, you realize the girls do that too. They're just better about keeping it a secret. I was certain that I saw the list that the girls put out, at least in my high school. They always say that it's always the boys. Why do the boys always get hit on this? The girls do it too. They're just as degenerate.
Yeah, but they're just way more secretive.
They are.
They're better at keeping it on the down low.
They keep it on the DL. I think the kids, do the kids say that?
Great question.
Okay.
But also, if we're talking about cooties at the high school level, it might
no,
mean
the cooties
that
one
might
was
be
earlier.
Something else.
Cooties
something
is
else for sure.
Is how old is cooties?
Like
middles?
Yeah, 12 and under, I think.
Okay, so like sixth grade and below, fifth grade
and
below, okay.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't remember. Send me a text if you know, especially if you're a parent, or maybe you're a kid with cooties who's listening and you know. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text. You pick the news when we come back. What story do you want me to discuss? Number one, Democrats and the teachers union fight against posting curriculum online. Or a story from the Everett Herald. Does your Valentine want candy or a trip to the love zone? Oh, my God.
Is that the principal writing that script?
No kidding. It's the actual title from the Everett Herald. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text. Which story do you want me to cover? We will discuss it when we come back. Democrats and the teachers union fight against posting curriculum online. Or does your Valentine want candy or a trip to the love zone? I actually don't know how people will vote on this one. 1-800-465-8770. We're back with the discussion that you choose after this.
You pick the topic on the Jason Rance Show.
Indeed you do, and you chose to talk about the wondrous, wonderful, definitely have your kids in mind, teachers union. I'm glad no one thought I was going to talk about the love zone after that introduction of keeping your kids in mind. So Republicans are pushing a parents' bill of rights, and this would be for public schools. Democrats don't want it because it would expose parents to what their kids are being indoctrinated with, so they are doing their level best to push back. But Senator Perry Dozer, the Republican from Waitsburg, who is the prime sponsor of this bill, it's Senate Bill 5024, he's saying it's actually pretty simple.
I've heard from many parents that they would like more involvement with the schools, and they would like to have an easier access to learn more about the school their children attend.
This is what it would require. Again, it's pretty simple. You have to post certain testing results on their homepages. Parents would get to have access to classroom materials by just going online. You can find the lesson plan online. On top of that, you get information on who actually is teaching your kids.
My bill is simple. It is about transparency of information from the school to the parents. It is not about parents driving curriculum.
It's pretty simple. It's pretty common sense. It's pretty reasonable, which is exactly why so many teachers union representatives are really, really hardcore against it. The Washington Education Association, they came out saying basically in a condescending way, oh, yeah, I'm sure you mean well, but yeah, no, we don't want you knowing what we're doing.
It could be a significant workload increase for educators. We recognize the intent of the bill. We support that transparency and openness, but we do have some concerns about the workload.
Okay. So then come up with a solution, because if you understand where people are coming from and you're down with the transparency, Julie Salvi from the WEA, why don't you come up and then tell us what you would prefer? Because you're all about transparency. You're all about transparency. So go ahead. Go ahead. Be transparent. Tell us how you're going to do it. We are open to your ideas, because parents out there want a better understanding of what's being taught to their kids.
The posting of instructional materials, not only curriculum, but instructional materials. There are many materials used in a day. And so the workload of uploading all of that would be adding to educators' job.
Oh, no. How about this? Upload it during the summer when you pretend to work. How about that? You get summers off. You've got your lesson plan and curriculum set for the whole year pretty much at the start, right? It isn't part of the few weeks leading up to the new semester or to the new school year all about planning your lessons for the year? Okay. Here's the thing. You put these pieces of paper into this machine. It looks like a fax machine, but it's not. It will scan everything that you load into it, and all you have to do is push a button, one button with one finger. You can even use a toe. You can use a nose if you want, or an elbow. I don't care. But then it will scan everything and put it into a file. Get that file, and this part maybe is a little bit too tough, but you get that file, and you attach it to something called an electronic mail, email. It's an electronic mail message.
Sounds crazy.
I know, but it's. I promise you it's easy, and I'll go down and I'll give you some help. I'll show you how to do it. And then you type in the name of whomever is in charge of your IT department and the website. Then you hit the send button, and then you let them take care of it because they have some time. Stop pretending that this is too hard. Stop it. We know it's not too difficult because all of us in our normal jobs, some of us routinely have to make records available, or post things online, or compile stuff in a project that we send off to our boss. You're capable of doing it. The question is, why don't you want to? What's the real reason? And I think we all know. The second that we find out in greater detail what teachers are putting in front of your kids, the more angry you will be. Because we lived through it for 2 years under COVID. Where when your kids were at home on their laptop, learning remotely, you were able to overhear the lessons that were getting in front of your kids. They were sitting there at the kitchen counter or the dining room table, and they were in their course. You're in the other room, especially early on in COVID where you were working from home. And you're hearing the teacher tell them about how there's 17 different genders that they all hold at once. You overheard them talk about their white privilege. Some of you overheard teachers talking about how evil Donald Trump is. And a lot of this was in a lesson plan. It was in a worksheet. Here's our white privilege pyramid. They don't want you seeing it. And that's why State Senator Dozier is pushing this bill.
How do parents find out information about what is happening with their children's education at their school? I receive calls from frustrated parents who feel that their child isn't being served by the school for a variety of different reasons. The parents don't know where to turn for help.
The other thing is, and you know why it's a nonsense excuse, a lot of what's being taught isn't being updated year to year. It's the same worksheet. It's the same information. There are some changes, of course. So let's stop pretending that it's that much more of a burden for teachers. I've never, name another profession that complains about the workload more than teachers and nurses. Nurses do too.
That was a good one. I was going to say talk show host, but you don't complain about the workload.
You complain
about everything else.
Yeah, then this isn't my personality. I'm not saying an individual, but what's an industry or a profession? The only two that I can think of are teachers and nurses. Every once in a while, I feel like they're no longer on the list, but and mostly because there's so few of them now. Postal workers, I feel like there was a time where they complained a lot, but they stopped. So it's just those two groups, and I think it's more teachers who complain. I'll give this to nurses. Nurses work long hours, and they work full time. Teachers don't. Stop pretending. I'm not buying it. You're not going to guilt me into, well, take care of your kids. I don't care. I don't have kids. I don't care. I'm not falling for your garbage. Can't post stuff online. It's so hard. But they might find out what we're teaching. Yeah, exactly. That's the point. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's twitter.com/JasonRants. Same thing on Instagram, Jason Rants. That's me. Back with more at the top of the hour.